Welcome to the fifth episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. In this episode, hear from Elena Whittington, student member of the Iowa State Board of Education. Elena Whittington of Diagonal was selected to serve as a State Board student member in 2022. She attends Diagonal High School in Diagonal, where she participates in varsity volleyball, basketball, archery, track, and softball. In addition, she is a member of band, quiz bowl, drama, speech, FIRST, Tech Challenge Robotics, National Honor Society, and Student Council. She is president of the Mount Air FFA chapter and is granting chair of the local philanthropy group HELP. Outside of school, Elena participates in the United Church of Diagonal Youth Fellowship, Twin River Tornadoes 4-H Club, Ringgold County Council, and Ringgold County 4-H and Youth Committee. Elena uses her experience in a wide range of activities to connect with students around the state while focusing on youth engagement and community participation in schools and communities of all sizes. Welcome, Elena. I'm wondering, how do you have time to be in school with all that you're involved in?
Oh, well, you know, some days are better than others, definitely. It's just keeping your schedule and making sure that you're outlined and that your days are planned. My mom is like a very organizational kind of freak about that stuff. And since we all are from the same school and all three of my siblings participate in a lot of various activities, we have a calendar on our fridge with like 3 p.m. Elena has basketball, 4 p.m. Owen has archery, 9 p.m. Levi has play practice, like something like that. So yeah, it's definitely a challenge to just keep everything at once, but yeah.
Well, that's those are good skills to have as a young person, because they'll only help in as you continue to grow older, right? So having those organizational skills. So thank you so much, Elena, for being willing to be a guest on our podcast. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to talk to you today and learn from you and hear your responses to the questions that we've prepared. So let's get started. So it's my understanding that there was an application process to join the State Board of Education. So tell our listeners, why did you decide to apply?
Yeah, so I didn't initially find out about the application by myself. My mom is an elementary principal and she had kind of heard it through a friend or through Facebook. I don't know where she found it, but she brought it back to me and she's like, Elena, you take a look at this. Like, I think you'd be a really good candidate. Even if you don't get it, you at least tried and you kind of stepped out of your comfort zone, because even with all of my various activities, education isn't really like, I don't have a big part or really any part in our school board because we don't have a student representative. So it wasn't really like I hadn't had a lot of prior knowledge with education. It was like I was stepping in and I was figuring out kind of what my role would be. So, and my mom, she actually didn't think I would get it. She's like, I mean, don't get your hopes up too high, Elena. Like, you're picked by the governor, which is a lot. And so don't be sad. You tried. I'm proud of you that way. And I think the final kind of factor and the drive for me was when I remembered kind of in seventh grade, I think, our school was being looked at to like approve the accreditation or like just close down the school, since we were the smallest school in the state of Iowa. So I remember the State Department of Ed coming in and like asking us questions, pulling us out of class. And I was like, you know, I think it'd be really good if they kind of heard the other side, you know, like if I was up there and I kind of said, hey, small schools are good. Like, look at me. I am doing so much and I've learned so much and I'm in this important position now. And so that was kind of like my final drive was like, yeah.
Yeah, student voice is important for sure. So I believe an essay was required as part of the application process. Would you like to share what you included in your essay? What was the topic of your essay?
So it was kind of the question that we had to answer in the essay was, why would you be a good candidate for the State Board of Ed? And what would you bring to the table? How would you represent the students, pretty much? It's kind of like we had to sum up those three questions. And I think it was about a page and a half, 2 pages maybe of essay. And I wrote about having a small school advantage and also kind of being at a disadvantage, and how if I was elected or selected, I guess, as the student board member, I could kind of show and represent the smaller public schools, because there are small public schools in Iowa, and we may not be the smallest now, but we are very close to the bottom. And I think when you're looking at Iowa education, the schools range from 2,500 to like 35 students enrolled in high school. So the wide gap that you have there, I mean, one student can't like physically support and mentor and kind of, what's the word? Bring about like change to your bigger and your smaller schools. So I think it's like, you're either getting a person in the small schools, the big schools, or the middle schools. And I was like, I would like to be a representative of the small schools. So that was pretty much what I talked about in my essay. I didn't mention the fact that Diagonal had been on the verge of shutting down, and that kind of prompted me. I don't know why, but I didn't.
And Elena, am I right? You are the only student on the state board?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. So reflecting on your perspective as a student, what have been some of the most interesting learnings from your position on the State Board of Education?
So one thing I didn't kind of know, or maybe I knew and I didn't understand fully, was the amount of departments and like branches of the Department of Ed. And it was definitely a learning curve when I first sat in the first meeting, and we had 7, I think, presentations about each kind of department and what they were doing. And I was astounded. I was like, oh, okay. So it's not just like 20 people sitting in a room trying to do one thing or all these different things. So that was definitely one thing that I was very interested in, and kind of learning about what each kind of branch and how they help the school and education system. And I was able to be a part of the NASB, so National Association of State Boards of Education. Yeah. And they put on like a student board member kind of group, and we had a project to do. So I got to meet with a bunch of student state board members from around the country. And that was really eye-opening to see like how other state boards work their meetings, and how all these different kids like came into their positions similar to mine. So is that was really interesting to see. And one thing I remember is the Hawaii representative. So they start out each meeting with like, I don't know, like a lei around their neck, and like they give grace to something, or they give something to something. And it was really cool to see that and kind of get to know him a little bit. So yeah.
So Elena, just building off that for a moment, did you learn through those conversations with the other students across the United States who also serve on state boards, any differences or similarities of education in Iowa compared to education in, you mentioned Hawaii, for example, or any of those others? Did you happen to learn anything that way?
So, well, not all state board members are the same. So some will serve for 1 year and some will serve for 2 or 3 years. So that was interesting to see. And I think just like we come from Iowa is a very rural state, and the fact that agriculture is its main production. We have Des Moines, which is a big city, but we don't have New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles. So, I mean, just taking into account that all these other states bring in a bigger kind of diversity area and factor was interesting. And they obviously have, I think some states had 2 representatives. So just to kind of get their whole population.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Some of our listeners may not know, how often do you meet as a State Board of Education?
So it's about once a month, except for July and December. Yeah. And so we come up to the Grimes Building in Ames, or no, sorry. And gosh, where's that? I'm there. I have my next board meeting on Thursday, so I don't know where it's at. But it's in Des Moines, and it's right by the Capitol. And so we have, yeah, one meeting a month, and then a couple extra meetings as well, just that kind of get scattered in.
Yeah, very good. So kind of moving our conversation to thinking more around students and school and so forth. So the National Association of Secondary School Principals did a survey of America's school leaders and high school students recently. And in that survey, 73% of students reported that they are generally satisfied with their school, but that there's an opportunity to involve them more in school planning and policies. As a student serving on the State Board of Education, what is your perspective on involving students in school planning and policy at the local level, at the school level?
I think it's very important, because sometimes our school board and school administrators forget kind of the population they're serving and the population they're making decisions for, which is easy to do when you just get to be involved in your own things and forget to kind of connect with the people. And I think having a student member is a great thing, and it definitely opens up the board's eyes and kind of the administrator's eyes of what the student is going through or what the students have noticed about the school and the policy. So it's definitely an interesting topic, and I do support it. But I also think that if a student is being brought into the state board, or not state board, their school boards, they should definitely be educated about the policy, because as students, you sometimes get wrapped up in your own lives, or you don't always understand kind of how the policies change and how the policies affect you, or how even to read the policies, because they can be quite confusing when you're looking at them. So as long as that student is educated, it understands kind of the role that he or she is playing, then it's definitely a good thing for the school.
Yeah. Did you feel that you had that education when you first stepped on the State Board of Ed?
Yes and no. So I thought that my mom had given me a good kind of example of education and let me kind of understand my role that I was going into. But then I stepped in the first meeting, and I was like, oh, and it kind of, I mean, most of it did go over my head, but I've gotten better at kind of understanding the policy and looking through the 25 point power presentations. So, yeah.
So it's what I'm hearing you say, it's about preparation, even for the individual meetings, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And we get the agenda and kind of outline beforehand. So I usually go over it about as early as she sends it, and I look over the details about what we're doing. Yep.
Yeah. That's the same as having been a former superintendent and working with school boards. It's always better for our school board members to make sure they've gone through all of those materials as well. So
yes.
Same idea. So as a student, do you feel your opinion is represented a great deal in major decisions and policy considerations, or somewhat?
Yeah, I think that my value or my views and my opinions are heard, definitely. I've tried to step into my role a bit more as I've progressed throughout the board meetings, just because I was a little uncertain at first and it took me a bit to catch up. But when I do speak, I know that they listen, and I know that they take my value and my view into consideration, for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. So, you know, I'd like to say that we wouldn't have to be talking about the pandemic any longer, but we're beyond the at least the thick of being in the pandemic. But what do you believe, if anything, was a positive that came from the pandemic?
So one positive that I think came out was all the online access to stuff. Before, missing a day kind of took you out for a bit, and you were playing a lot of catch up just the next day in class. And I think after COVID came and all of the students came back or they were quarantined for some time, it took a bit of adjusting for the teachers. But when they switched to online, I think a lot of it got better, because then if you miss a day, you can bring back, or you can come back with that knowledge, and you don't have to like bring the class behind, or you don't have to feel like you're playing catch up to the next lesson. So I think one positive came out was the online, switching to online. So
yeah, being able to access those materials, absolutely, when you're out, even whether you're out sick or you were out, as you are involved in a lot, sometimes you probably miss school, right? So
yes, it definitely helps me a lot with the online stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how about yourself? Did you learn anything about yourself through the pandemic?
Yeah, so I have 3 siblings, and I have 2 working parents that are almost never home, and we are always involved in things. So it's definitely difficult for us to kind of come together as a family, or maybe not come together, but be at home as a family and do stuff together like that, home all day, every day.
Yeah. Did you find that your family created some rituals during that time that now you've maintained?
Yeah, I'd say we had like a TV time limit that kind of started when we were in COVID, and now it's kind of just become the regular thing, is that after like 2 hours of being on the TV, you need to just stop and kind of put things down and go play in your room or go do something outside. We started doing these like online YouTube drawing classes. And so sometimes during like spring break or winter break, we'll bring those out for fun.
Yeah, very cool. When you think about in your academic part of your schooling, do you feel as though students get to make choices around that? And if so, what are those choices?
Yeah, I feel our school is very fortunate to have kind of 3 partner schools in the fact that we have our core classes in diagonal at the end of the day. And then in the morning, we go to the neighboring school, Mount Air, and we have our extracurricular activities and some college classes available. And then for the juniors and seniors, if they decide to, they can go to the neighboring community college, SWIC, and take college classes like face-to-face or online. So it's definitely when we get to freshman year and we go over to Mount Air for the first 2 years, we can kind of feel out what extracurriculars we like, what extracurriculars we don't like, and kind of plan out our next 4 years academically. And then when you get to be a junior, you get to pick, do I stay and take college classes or do I go and take Mount Air extracurriculars? And so you have a lot of choices, especially where I'm from, the small school aspect. And that's nice because we have different aspirations in life. And I think sophomore year you can start. And if you feel as though you want to work and you just want to go right into the workforce after high school, they have the work program for students above sophomore year. So there's a lot of options, and it starts around 9th grade.
Yeah, awesome. So there are choices that you can make that really relates to what you may want to do even beyond that high school. So yeah, Helping you to focus. Awesome. Very good. So if you could be learning anything at school, what would it be and why?
Well, so in all of my college applications, it kind of asked me a similar question, like what new program would you bring or what new class would you start? And even though it's a boring answer, I've always kind of said like tax preparation. I'm so scared of not understanding how to do my taxes when I get older that I'm just going to fail and like they're going to arrest me for tax evasion. So it would definitely be tax, like a tax class, even though it'd be very boring. Like I feel as though I can't go into the world without understanding how to do my taxes.
So do you have aspirations on the business side of, to do something in the business world, or this is purely like, you just want to make sure you understand taxes?
A little bit of both. Yeah. I could see myself like owning and operating my own business. Okay. Definitely. But as of the moment, just understand how to do basic taxes. Yeah, for sure. Like, what receipts do I need to keep? I don't know. I throw them all away, I guess.
Yeah. Very good. So do you believe that schools in general give students opportunities to learn outside of the classroom, outside of that regular school day, you know, within those walls?
Yeah. We have what's called like homeroom for our middle school students. And like every Friday, I think the teacher kind of takes them out on like a nature walk or does something fun with them to kind of help them grow a little bit more. And I think those are nice because even though you're in school, you get to kind of take a walk and you get to understand like it's time to cool down. Like it's time to take a break for a little bit, which is very important when you're in school for 7 hours, just kind of understanding that you're almost done. And if it's a bad day, just to kind of brush it off. But then with the extracurriculars after school, there's tons and tons of extracurriculars available to us, not just school-based, but religiously based and kind of interest-based that are just very awesome. And some are even in partnership with the school, like the Help philanthropy group that I'm a part of. It's very cool to kind of see how our lives in school can be transformed to our lives out of school while still being in school.
for sure. So you mentioned Help. Tell us and our listeners a little bit more about Help and what that group does, what it's about.
Yeah, so it's a group of around 25 members, and I was just named president in May. I think late May was when I was named president. But so we have 25 members, 3 navigators, and what we do is we get around $30,000 a year from DECO, the DECO Foundation, which is a company based out of, or a philanthropy group based out of Indiana. And they'll give us the money, and then we have like certain allocations. So $5,000 will go to like our annual service day, and we hold a service day for like all of the schools in Wingo County to come together and work on projects around our community to help kind of clean up the streets or to paint sidewalks. I've been picking up trash for the last 3 years, so I'm really hoping to give me something different this year. But we also have around $20,000 to give to teacher grants. So then we have a teacher grant cycle opening up. It opens up usually around November, and then we close it around January 1st. So then it gives those teachers an opportunity to like apply for things that they think they need in the classroom. So we funded iPads for student learning. We funded a smart board for a math teacher, calculators, seating chart, like seating arrangement tables, just different things to kind of engage the students and get them more actively involved. We gave our ag teacher in Mountair a pig simulator kit. And so I've used that recently demonstrating the class on how to like clip pig's teeth or snip a tail. Very interesting to see kind of what we do as a group affects how we live or how we work around in the classroom. And then in our community grants, we have about $10,000 to give to a community project like signs in the town square. We've donated money to help like the parks in Wingo County get some new fire rooms, I think is what it is. We've had flooring redone in the community building in Redding, which is a small town in Wingo County. Just things like that that kind of help our community and give more opportunities to the youth. So then we have another little fill section where we have around $200 for every classroom in both Diagonal and Mountair. And they are given that $200 to then spend and do something for their class or for their school. So we've planted trees in the park. We redid the sand in the sandboxes in the playground. The Mountair classes came together to help the fire station get a new fire truck. Things like that, that we have the little kids. It's kindergarten through eighth grade in Diagonal and kindergarten through fifth grade in Not Air, kind of come together and see the need in their community. And it also encourages them to apply when they get to high school to be a member and then see that change. So
yeah,
it's a good group. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, you're giving back and you're doing service work. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good job. Good work out of you guys. So, you know, as I've talked with students in my administrator days, you know, I would hear that certain ways of teaching engage them more in learning and so forth. So when do you learn the most or the best at school? And just tell myself and our listeners about that.
Yeah, so it's definitely important to think of everybody as a different student. I don't learn the same as some of my classmates and vice versa. So I learn the best whenever the teacher lectures and then gives us notes to fill in or like tells us to take our own notes over the lecture. It's very helpful to me, and I often don't study as much when I hear the lecture and I wrote down the lecture. My favorite class is history, not only because I'm going into a future profession in history, but because I just enjoy the teacher, and her lecture style classroom is one of my favorite.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell me something you're doing in school that matters to you, and tell me why that matters to you, and how will you use it today and or into the future?
Yeah, so I'm a part of the First Tech Challenge team robotics, and we have a class during school that helps us kind of work on that robot and get it ready for championships and tournaments. And so it's very important to me because I kind of picked it on my own. Nobody told me that I had to be there to make like a team and to make sure that we could all play. I picked it and I really enjoy it. I've been on it for 3 years now. And it's just something that it's new every year. The challenge is a different challenge every year, and we rebuild the robot to specifically fit that challenge. And I've developed some really good STEM skills from that. And the engineering principles of kind of understanding the design and the methods of your work and kind of the trial and error that we always use in our day-to-day lives. last year, I received the Dean's List Award. So I was a state finalist, and I went on to world championships to be considered to be a Dean's List Award recipient. And it just takes your GPA and what you've been doing with your robotics and how you've kind of helped your robotics team grow that it like looks at. So I talked about how I created the chapter website that everybody can look onto and see kind of our robot and our design progression throughout the meets and kind of meet the team, just something that you wouldn't necessarily find if you like talk to us, because we kind of forget about that part when you're talking to us. But yeah, so it's definitely helped me grow into myself a bit more, kind of steps out of my comfort zone and the STEM factor. And it's just kind of gave me the principles of hard work, dedication, commitment, because there's a lot of time outside of class that we work on.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you on the award. You probably do a lot of coding, right? Wouldn't that involve coding?
Yes and no. I give the coding off to this kid that's really smart. He is smart as a whip, and I am not in the coding aspect. I always joke around that I'm more of like the organizational notebook girl, that I make sure all of our outreach events are done, and I think of some new activities for all the kids in the high school to kind of come together with this robot and with the robotics group. So, and I've helped build it, but I'm not so much of a coder, no.
You know, what you just described though, Elena, is you're working to your strengths, right? So you have a team of people, and you've identified each person's strengths and then working towards those strengths. That's awesome. That's how team should work and function, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we continue to think about school, You know, and I often hear that students sometimes don't feel that they can be themselves. Do you feel that you can be yourself at school, or do you feel that you have to fit into a certain view of what a student is?
Well, I think it's easy to try and fit in, at least from my standpoint of being in class with the same students I've been around since kindergarten. It's definitely easier when you grow up together and you can be yourself when you're when you understand each other's behaviors and you've kind of seen them more as family and friends than you do as like just students that you see every day for 7 hours. They've definitely, my classmates have become part of my second family, and the fact that I've just seen them and I've been around them for so long and for so much time. And it's definitely harder when you come in as a student that hasn't been there, because you're kind of blocked out and you don't always understand the class dynamics, because there are unspoken rules in every school that nobody understands how they got there, but they're there and new students don't always understand them. But yeah, I think it's easy to fit in to an extent. Being in a small school, you always are kind of pressured to be in these different events, to have a team or to do things that maybe your classmates want you to do so they can do it as well. And I think you just have to understand that if it's not best for you, you have to step away and maybe choose something for yourself instead of conforming with those ideas.
Yeah, which connects actually, Elena, to my next question. So, you know, in schools, we've really talked a lot about social emotional learning and really wanting to make sure our students are healthy, well-rounded citizens, happy. So do you feel that your school helps you learn how to be a healthy individual, happy? And if so, how does that happen? How does that, what happens in Diagonal?
I do. I think my school has done a great job in making sure that we are all happy and healthy. Our elementary focus a lot on the social emotional learning. They have a lot of break times and they have a lot of questions. How are you doing? Are you safe at home? Are you safe at school? Are you happy? The middle school have definitely started doing some activities about the social emotional learning. They take breaks if something's maybe going wrong or they don't understand. They take those walks that I was talking about earlier, just kind of help refocus and recharge. But for the high school, it's more about letting us understand that we are almost adults. And I think as a high schooler, that is how you become happy or a little bit healthy. You understand how you work as an individual, and it's just looking at yourself and kind of understanding that these teachers are here to help me. These teachers are here to support me in everything I do. And yeah, there's also a therapist that comes twice a week for us, and we can go and talk to her anytime. So that's definitely helpful. But I would say I'm happy and healthy for yeah. Sure.
Yeah, fantastic. So you've mentioned your mom a little bit, and I don't know, our listeners may or may not know this, but you're a daughter of a principal and a school board member. So there might be some dynamics there once in a while, right? So yeah. I imagine you have a very unique perspective on each of those roles. And are there any observations about the roles that you would like to share with our listeners? So,
yeah, so my mom is a principal for a county around 45 minutes away. So her school board is different than the one that my dad sits on. He sits on my school board. And so my dad's meetings are about 45, concise, to the point. We're here to get our work done. We're here to understand what we're doing for the kids, and we're here to leave. And my mom is in these 3-hour meetings and she's like, oh my gosh. So it's really kind of funny to see the different dynamics between my mom's school board meetings and my dad's school board meetings. And it's funny to hear the stories that they both bring back, because there are some funny things that just happen that you're just like, oh, okay. You know, you just kind of have to let them roll. But I would say one thing that I learned from both of them being on the school board was that not everybody, not all of their colleagues understand the importance of their role. It's kind of hard to focus on what you're doing and understanding the people that you're representing when there's no student representative there at your meetings. And sometimes they get lost in kind of what they think the school should be and maybe not understanding how the school is.
Yeah. How has it been for you to be a student of a mom who's a principal, right? So an administrator in a district, not the district that you attend, but a district. And then also having your dad as a school board member. Have you at times felt like, oh man, that's challenging for me as the student, or has that not impacted you?
I don't think it's impacted me that much. No, my parents are really good at kind of separating their work lives and their home life. So I don't hear a lot about what happens at the meetings, but I would say that they keep a really good job of separating it and just letting us kind of be our own self and not constraining us with that thing. So
yeah, that's fantastic. You had mentioned about history being something that you may want to do in the future. Are you thinking about teaching or what are your aspirations?
No, I'm not thinking about teaching. I'm thinking about going into pre-law. So okay. I'm going to get my majors in political science and then kind of work the pre-law and the law route from there, I think, is kind of happening at the moment. I don't know. Plans change. But I love history and I love everything about politics. I think they're interesting. And
yeah. Well, good luck to you on whatever it may be, right? So, all right. So finally, it's common refrain for older generations to label the younger generations. It happens. It's happened over time, right? So considering this, what would you wish people knew and understood about you and your peers?
Yeah, so I think the big thing to look at when looking at my age group and kind of the teenagers and the younger kids is that every single one of us is different. We all have different values. We all have different lives at home. We all have different beliefs. And when you group everyone together, and the older generation does do it often, they're like, oh, well, this younger generation is just horrible. Well, we all have different kind of beliefs and structures. So it's just important to know that we like to be recognized individually and not always all together in groups, because we're all different and we all want different things. So, but it's also common for us to group the older generation, which I'm sure is true about everything. So it's just kind of a give and take, you know, you recognize the older generation individually and they recognize you individually, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Great advice for the older generation like myself, to always remember that we're individuals. And I appreciate you acknowledging that it can be both ways, right? That it happens both ways. So, yeah. So Elena, thank you so much again for being willing to be a guest and for serving on the State Board of Education. I really do believe student voice is real important in education and in Iowa and beyond, but it's just something that I think every district in Iowa really needs to think about. Listening to students, having them be a part of decision-making when it makes sense, right? So thank you for putting yourself out there and for helping move education forward in the state of Iowa.
Yes, thank you.
Be sure to join us for next month's episode when we welcome 2023 Iowa Assistant Principal of the Year, Dustin Smith of Nevada. We'll talk with him about approaches to hiring, student interns, student behavior, and much more.